Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Lessons from the Edge at MC, celebrating 25 years of providing enlightening lectures and presentations to Midland, the Midland College Davidson Distinguished Lecture Series will present its fall 2022 installment featuring Marie Jovanovic, former U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine. The lecture is at 7 p.m. today at the Al G. Langford Chaparral Center. Doors open at 6 p.m. The event is free thanks to a generous endowment provided to Midland College by the Davidson Family Charitable Foundation. Tickets are not required for general admission seating. Midland College friends of the series and distinguished donors may contact the Midland College Foundation at 432-685-4526 for preferred seating tickets. Marie Jovanovic is a senior fellow at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace and a non-resident fellow at the Institute for the Study of Diplomacy, Georgetown University. Previously, she served as the U.S. Ambassador to the Ukraine 2016-2019, the Republic of Armenia 2008-2011, and the Kyrgyz Republic 2005-2008. She also served as the Dean of the School of Language Studies at the Foreign Service Institute, U.S. Department of State, and as the Deputy Commandant and International Advisor at the Dwight D. Eisenhower School for National Security and Resource Strategy, National Defense University. Earlier, she served as the Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary for the Bureau of European and Eurasian Affairs, where she coordinated policy on European and global security issues. Before that, she was the Bureau's Deputy Assistant Secretary, responsible for issues relating to the Nordic, Baltic, and Central European countries. In 2003-2004, Ambassador Jovanovic was the Senior Advisor to the Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs. Prior to that, she was the Deputy Chief of Mission to the U.S. Embassy in Kyiv, Ukraine, within the Department of State. Ambassador Jovanovic has worked on the Russia Desk, the Office of European Security Affairs, and the Operations Center. She has also worked overseas at the U.S. Embassies in Moscow, London, Ottawa, and Mogadishu Complex Community Federal Credit Union to perform 64 acts of kindness. Every October, credit unions worldwide come together to celebrate International Credit Union Day. This year it takes place today. In honor of this special day and their 64th anniversary of serving West Texas, Complex Community Federal Credit Union team members will conduct 64 acts of kindness across the Permian Basin. The team members will be dropping off goodies at hospitals, police and fire stations, schools, and other organizations that serve West Texas. COVID-19 linked to increase in U.S. pregnancy-related deaths. COVID-19 drove a dramatic increase in the number of women who died from pregnancy or childbirth complications in the U.S. last year, a crisis that has disproportionately claimed Black and Hispanic women as victims, according to a government report released Wednesday. The report lays out grim trends across the country for expectant mothers and their newborn babies. It finds that pregnancy-related deaths have spiked nearly 80% since 2018, with COVID-19 being a factor in a quarter of the 1,178 deaths reported last year. The percentage of preterm and low birth weight babies also went up last year after holding steady for years, and more pregnant women or postpartum women are reporting symptoms of depression. We were already in the middle of a crisis with maternal mortality in our country, said Karen Tab-Dina, a maternal health researcher at the University of Illinois at Urbana Champaign. This really shows that COVID-19 has exacerbated that crisis to rates that we as a country are not able to handle. The nonpartisan U.S. Government Accountability Office, which authored the report, analyzed pregnancy-related deaths after Congress mandated that it review maternal health outcomes in the 2020 coronavirus relief bill. The maternal death rate in the U.S. is higher than many other developed countries and has been on the rise in the years leading up to the pandemic, but COVID-19 has only worsened conditions here for pregnant women. Death notice for Thursday, October 20th. Cruz S. Marino, 76, of Odessa, died Saturday, October 15th in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. Thursday, October 20th at St. Joseph Catholic Church. Burial follows at American Heritage Cemetery in Midland County. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
Hello, this is Michael, and I'm reading sports today from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American newspapers. From the Midland Reporter-Telegram, Thursday, October 20th, High School Football MHS Report. Bulldogs look for first win in district play, by Christopher Hattern. Two teams that are itching to get into the district win column will meet at 7 p.m. Friday at Odessa's Ratliff Stadium in District 2-6A's longest-standing rivalry. Midland High, 4-3, 0-2, visits Odessa High, 3-4, 0-2, for the 101st edition. And both teams really need to win in order to keep their playoff hopes alive in the 5-game District 2-6A schedule. A mere 7 points has been the difference in the Bulldogs dropping their first two district games as they fell 28-25 to San Angelo Central on October 7th and followed with the 42-38 loss to Woolworth Friendship last Friday. The Broncos have had a rougher start to district as they opened with a 38-7 loss to rival Odessa Permian before falling 54-34 to San Angelo Central last Friday. But OHS has had its bright moments at times, as it finished non-district play with a 35-14 win over Class 6A program Schertz Clemens. I think this is one of the better Odessa High teams I've seen since I've been in the district, MHS head coach Thad Fortune said. I think that's a credit to head coach Dusty Ortiz and his staff. It's going to be a dogfight in Ratliff on Friday. They're capable of winning any game that they show up to feel like we feel we are. But you've still got to prepare and then see who makes the plays. Certainly, we're both finding ourselves in the same position at 0-2 in district. We're both desperate to get our first district win, so that usually lines up for a good football game. The Bulldogs will face another standout 6'6" receiver for the second straight week. Friendship's 6'6" wideout Tate Beals had 17 catches for 245 yards and 2 touchdowns against MHS in last week's game. This Friday, MHS faces a tall order in stopping Odessa High 6'6" junior receiver Ivan Carrion, who had 8 receptions for 205 yards and 2 TDs against Central. Carrion already has 40 receptions for 943 yards and 10 TDs this season. Everybody is familiar with Carrion, Fortune said. What a weapon he is just because of his height, and what an advantage that is even mentally for a quarterback to be able to throw it to a target that big. It kind of allows them to cut it loose as well. Like everybody that plays them, you've got to stop him, and if you can't stop him, it's going to be a long night. He's really a good player, and they do a really good job on offense. The Bulldogs had a stellar night running the ball against Friendship as they ran 44 times for 483 yards and averaged 11 yards a carry. Senior running back Mekki McCoy led the way with 193 yards on the ground and a pair of scores, while sophomore quarterback Stroman Bridges added 133 rushing yards and a TD. After MHS failed to gain one passing yard in its previous two games, Bridges broke out with 111 yards passing and 2 TD passes. Despite their impressive offensive showing, the Bulldogs had several miscues that might have changed the outcome if one of them had turned out differently. Some of the mishaps included a late fumble on offense that led to the Tigers' go-ahead scoring drive and a touchdown allowed on a friendship botched field goal attempt. I finally feel like we're playing good enough football in that category where every play does matter, Fortune said. There's sometimes if you're too outmatched, then every play doesn't matter. But when you have a chance to win every game like we do, then every play matters. And you never know which play is going to be the backbreaker. It can be some seemingly innocent play in the first quarter. But if you look back on it later on, and that's the backbreaker. I think we've just got to keep growing and maturing as a football team, as a program. Continue to understand the importance of every rep in practice and translate that to the games. I was really proud of our effort and just the way we fought. There's a lot to build on, and we certainly want to take the next step and get better outcomes. LHS Report. Rebels play first place Bobcats after big win, by Christopher Hattern. Head coach Clint Hartman was proud of his legacy football team for how it overcame adversity in its rivalry game against Odessa Permian last Friday. The Rebels trailed by 2 scores at halftime and faced a 2-score deficit late in the third quarter before rallying to beat the previously undefeated Panthers with a 33-25 win in District 2-6A play at Odessa's Ratliff Stadium. With the victory, Legacy, 3-4, 1-1, snapped a 3-game losing streak to win its first game in a month. The Rebels also won a road game against Permian, 6-1, 1-1, for the first time since 2010, and they picked up consecutive wins against the Panthers for the first time since 2004-2005. Legacy will face another challenge in District 2-6A play when it welcomes first place San Angelo Central, 5-2, 2-0, to Astound Broadband Stadium at 7 p.m. Friday. The Bobcats have won 4 straight and are a proud program that has reached the postseason in 12 straight seasons. Prior to the Rebels' current run of 4 straight district titles, 2008 to 2021, Central had claimed a share of 5 consecutive district championships from 2013 to 2017. It's going to come down to a physical football game, Hartman said. There was a run when they won 5 district titles in a row. They're not used to not being good, and they found a way, and the one thing that they keep doing is they keep finding a way to win. That means they are a scary team. When teams find ways to win, you better know that they know how to win, Hartman added. They're not going to flinch, and I think we've learned our lessons about you can't come out not ready to play in this district because you can certainly get beat. You look at the scores last week, and they're all pretty close. Any given night, it can be unfun. For us, fundamentally, we need to start the right way and take what they give us. LHS will be tested by Central's Tyler Hill, a dual-threat quarterback who has already rushed for 1,023 yards, passed for 1,277 yards, and accounted for 26 total touchdowns this season. In the Bobcats' 57-34 win over Odessa High last week, Hill completed 16 of 20 passes for 196 yards and 4 TD passes, while rushing 13 times for 123 yards and 2 scores. We've got to limit him on his quarterback runs, on his scrambles, Hartman said of Hill. It's kind of like last week, the Rodney Hall situation with Permian, where we had to limit him from running and make him be a one-dimensional thrower, or vice versa. You can't let him have both. We will always make sure to always have eyes on him. Hartman believed his Rebel defense grew up against Permian as it allowed only 12 second-half passing yards. Canyon Moses, Gilbert Hernandez, and Jamar Roberson all recorded interceptions, while Isis Robledo had a fumble recovery and a tackle in the end zone for his safety. It was quite the improvement after Legacy allowed a combined 11 touchdown passes in the first half during consecutive losses to Converse Judson and Wolforth Friendship prior to the Permian game. Hartman said the coaching staff decided to stop running the Tampa Bay-style cover-2 coverage that the secondary and linebackers were struggling with, and they went with the variety of coverages they were comfortable with, consisting of cover-3, quarters, and match cover-2. Going back to where I cut my teeth on has helped us in the secondary, and they've done it for 6 years now, Hartman said of the coverage. We have ran those coverages for 6 years. Sometimes coaches get too smart for their own self. We feel really good where we're at with that, and now our kids are playing pretty fast. Hartman said the defense has taken off with Trent Lowe settling in at the Will linebacker spot and Robledo manning the middle linebacker position. The pair have been at those spots for two consecutive games. Hartman said the defense's success starts with the rotational group on the four-man front. That includes Chase Barton, Emmanuel Liddy, Josiah Brown, Brylon Zeno, and Eduardo Luevanos. Those five guys, they're hard to move, Hartman said. They're physical. The rest of it kind of stems off them and getting pressure and helping us. Now moving over to the Odessa American for Thursday, October 20th. Sports page. High school football week 9. Panthers need to regain balance. Have leaned on running game lately. By Lee Scheide. It was the first blemish of Permian's 2022 football season, and the players were not happy climbing the steps to the home locker room at Ratliff Stadium. Not a word was said, the only sound coming from cleats echoing off the concrete walls of the storied facility. Quickly in and out of the locker room and onto the waiting buses, the Panthers were left to contemplate their effort in a loss to rival Midland Legacy. They also are forced to regroup, with much more needed than a quick sideline adjustment in the heat of the battle. Permian, 6-1 overall, 1-1 in District 2-6A, put the ball on the ground three times, losing one and giving up a safety on another. The Rebels intercepted three passes and pushed the Panthers around at the line of scrimmage for most of the second half. Heading into this week's contest against Wolfworth Friendship, 6-1, 2-0, Permian needs to regain its swagger and balance on offense. With plenty of weapons, the Panthers have become a quasi-one-dimensional, which is easy to understand given their offensive line. In the previous two games against Abilene Cooper and Odessa High, the Panthers rushed for 616 yards and scored 11 rushing touchdowns. They added 130 yards on the ground and three scores in the loss to the Rebels. That's 746 yards and 14 scores the past 3 weeks. During that same span, Permian has thrown for 397 yards and one touchdown. No matter how dominant the offensive line is, there has to be better balance on offense, especially with players the caliber of Jaquan Richardson, Jabari Jones, and Deontay Bass making life miserable for opposing defensive backs. High praise. Midland Legacy head coach Clint Hartman was quick to single Richardson after the Rebels' victory Friday at Ratliff Stadium. That number two, that's a Division I football player, Hartman said of Richardson. Richardson broke onto the scene last year as a junior, catching 33 passes for 928 yards and 13 touchdowns. Many of them highlight real quality as he broke tackles and ankles all over the field. This season, he has 27 receptions for 425 yards and four scores and is climbing the Panthers' career receiving charts. Currently, he has 60 career receptions with Adam Podzimny, 2002 to 2004, sitting in 10th with 71. Richardson's 1,353 yards has him in 8th with Kendrick Parrott in 7th at 1,409. To crack the top five, Richardson will need 177 yards to displace Andrew Perez, 1,530 from 2011 to 2012. Cheering for rival. The Panthers have already faced rival Odessa High, earning a dominant victory. Though Permian stumbled a bit last week against the Rebels, the Panthers still have their postseason aspirations firmly in their own hands. Now they need the Broncos to get on the right track and qualify for the postseason for the first time since 2013. Should both the Panthers and Odessa High qualify, they would be the Division I representatives from District 2-6A. That would likely give Permian the home game in the bi-district round, courtesy of its victory in the crosstown rivalry matchup. If Odessa High does not qualify, and Midland Legacy does, the Panthers could be on the road to open the postseason. Broncos have to stay disciplined. Host option-based Bulldogs Friday by Samir Mala. The Odessa High football team has lost two straight District 2-6A games following a 3-2 mark after non-district play this season. Next up is a familiar foe in former Permian offensive coordinator Thad Fortune, now in his second season at the helm of the Midland High program. Odessa High offensive coordinator Creighton Reed felt like he tried too hard during last season's 49-28 loss to the Bulldogs. "I tried getting it all back at once and taking deep shots," Reed said. "I thought, once we're on the field, we're just going to go score in a play or two, and it doesn't need to be like that." Reed realizes the Broncos should add emphasis to the running game in the rematch, as the team rushes for more yards each game than they did last season. 139.2 yards per game in 2021 versus 141.6 yards this season. "We have a really good ground attack as well," Reed continued. "I hope our rushing attack gains more yards than their rushing attack because we have a really physical football team, a great offensive line, and a good rushing attack as well." Reed knows firsthand how the Bulldogs control the clock with their triple option offense, so the Broncos have to maximize each offensive possession. "Our plan for our offense is to be very efficient, take advantage of every single drive we get, and ultimately just score touchdowns on each drive," Reed said. Be offensively dominant. The Broncos are 3-0 this season when passing for more than 300 yards, and head coach Dusty Ortiz believes that mark can only benefit the team. "We're passing for over 300 yards, which means we're putting up quite a bit of points, and that helps out the whole team," Ortiz said. In addition, the Broncos are 3-0 when the team has over 470 all-purpose yards and 0-4 when under that yardage total. "Every time we get that ball, we have to capitalize on it and go down and score," Reed said. Stop the triple option. The last two Odessa High opponents have been run dominant, but the Bulldogs take that run-pass discrepancy to a new extreme. Midland High averages only 40 passing yards, but runs the ball for nearly 400 yards, 392.1 yards per game. The Bulldogs are led by running back duo of senior Drayton McCoy and junior Briley Perez, who each average more than 100 and nearly two touchdowns per game. "I think the biggest thing for Midland is, can you stop them a couple of times and can you get ahead of them by two touchdowns?" Ortiz said. "I think that's the goal of every team that plays them. And then you make them into kind of a passing offense because they're playing catch up." Now we'll go back to the Midland Reporter Telegram and pick up their sports section from Wednesday, October 19th. Area football notebook. Rangers sit atop district standings. Greenwood in first after win. Double forfeit in Hershey-Graham matchup by Oscar Leroy. The Greenwood football team will get to enjoy its open week a little bit more, especially with the Rangers off to a 2-0 start in District 3-4A Division 2 play. Greenwood, 5-3 overall, took care of business on Friday with a 35-7 victory at Always Tough Sweetwater. That win keeps the Rangers in sole possession of first place in the league after last week's decision by District 3-4A Division 2 Executive Committee to rule that the October 7th game between Wichita Falls, Hershey, and Graham ended in a double forfeiture. The DEC had ruled initially that Hershey would get a win over Graham after the Huskies led 24-14 late in the third quarter of the game that did not conclude because of sideline clearing fight. Then, one day after that ruling, the DEC was forced to rule on the double forfeiture because Hershey used an ineligible player. Greenwood athletic director and head football coach Rusty Purser, who was part of that DEC Zoom meeting, said it was a tough situation. "The thing that put the most stress on our DEC is that they didn't complete the game," Purser said. we had to decide the outcome of a game. After we had reached a decision, Hershey reported the possibility of using an ineligible player. Then we had to have another meeting, and I could see it in their faces that they were definitely disappointed. I think they realized that a lot of that situation was on their hands. Purser said things seemed to escalate between the two programs because of chatter on social media. It was a difficult environment for players, Purser said. It's one thing to ask college players to tune things out, but it's pretty tough to ask 16, 17, 18-year-olds to ignore that stuff. It was just very negative. Greenwood will next host Graham, 4-4, 0-2, on October 28th before visiting Hershey, 4-2, 0-1, on November 4th, arguably the two toughest teams in the district. The Rangers are coming off a good all-around performance at Sweetwater, in which they had success running the football with 288 yards, while the defense shined by holding the Mustangs to 180 total yards and forcing four turnovers. That's 2 weeks in a row that we've gotten away from being a run-heavy football team, Purser said. We played both quarterbacks, Rance Purser and Dylan Dominguez, the other night, and we're asking them to perform different roles because of their different skill sets. With our starting quarterback being out, it's nice to be able to do that, and our running backs are playing well. The biggest thing from Friday night is that our defense played well and forced a ton of turnovers. We were really stingy on defense. We gave up one big play, which led to their only score. But outside of that, the defense played tremendous. Hats off to those guys. Purser said senior quarterback Ty Flowers, who has missed the last two games because of a shoulder injury, said he's been doing everything he could in practice but throw the football. He added that it's still questionable if he'll be available to play against Graham. Stanton and Kahoma ready for rivalry game. The fact that both Stanton and Kahoma will be looking to bounce back from losses should only add to the importance of Friday's rivalry game at Kahoma's Bill Eastern Lee Memorial Stadium. It's Stanton and Kahoma. You can throw the records out the window for this game, Stanton coach Cody Hogan said. This game means a lot to both communities, and both teams are going to give it everything they've got. It's a rivalry game, and those games are fun to play in. Added Kahoma coach Chris Jocelyn about playing Stanton, it should be a really good rivalry game. They do a lot of things well, and they're starting to find their way offensively. They get after it on defense, and offensively, they can hurt you in a bunch of different ways. They work out of the spread, but still get under center. They can throw the ball now and hurt you in the running game. Stanton, 2-5, 0-2 in District 4-3A, Division 2, is coming off a 49-7 loss to Littlefield, while Kahoma, 5-2, 1-1, saw its five-game winning streak snapped in a 28-16 loss at Idaloo. For both teams, turnovers and mistakes cost them. It's frustrating for the kids as well as the coaches, but I know that we're going to continue to work on cleaning those things up on a daily basis, Hogan said. I know we're going to be a scary bunch once we get those things fixed. Kahoma coach Chris Jocelyn said Idaloo's defense had a lot to do with his team's woes. They're really good defensively, but we knew that going in, said Jocelyn of the Wildcats. I'm proud of the way the kids competed until the end. We had our chances. We turned the ball more than we have been, and they put the ball on the ground four times, and we couldn't get one of them. That was a big difference in the game. Big Spring back in action. Big Spring coach Cannon McWilliams said the open week was good for his team and hopes his Steers are ready to close out District 2-4A Division 1 play on a strong note. The Steers, 4-3, 0-1, will host San Angelo Lakeview, 3-5, 0-2, in a key game for both teams. Big Spring is hoping to end a two-game losing streak, while Lakeview has lost four straight. After our open week, we've gotten back into our normal routine, McWilliams said. We've only had three guaranteed games left, and every game is important. Lakeview is next up. Every game is important at this time of year, and every game counts, especially with everybody in our district being pretty close. The Steers are coming off a 41-10 loss at Brownwood on October 7th but McWilliams and his players have responded well in practice. "I've been impressed with our kids," he said. "We've had two good days of work this week. We did some good things in Brownwood. We just had too many turnovers and penalties that hurt us, and we've gone back and worked on cleaning those things up." Big third propels number 7 Garden City to 81-36 win. Garden City coach Jeff Jones said he didn't have much to say to his team after it only led 36-30 at the half at Borden County on Friday. "We just told the kids to stick to the game plan," Jones said. "We've been in some tough close games this year, and we knew that experience would give us an advantage in this game." The number 7 ranked Bearcats responded by outscoring the Coyotes 37-6 in the third quarter to roll to an 81-36 victory to improve to 7-1 overall and 2-0 in District 7-1A Division 1. "We came out hot to start the second half, and we scored on the first two plays by forcing turnovers," Jones said. "Anytime you can get momentum like that, it's huge. That was the turning point of the game." Jones added that his team's depth also became a factor as the Bearcats eventually wore down the Coyotes with players running in and out. The Bearcats are open this week before hosting Sands on October 28th. "We finally have a little break to recharge the batteries," Jones said. "That can be good and bad. We have a good rhythm going, and we don't want to get complacent. We have to stay focused throughout the week and then get ready for these last few games." Private school report. MCS preps to stop Fort Worth Christian's high-flying offense, by Oscar Leroy. The Midland Christian football team will go from facing one of the top defenses in the district last week to facing one of the best offenses this week. The Mustangs, 3-4, 1-1 in Taps Division II District 1, host Fort Worth Christian, 5-1, 0-1, at 7 p.m. Friday in the last regular season home game at Gordon Autry Field. MCS is coming off a 24-14 loss at Argyle Liberty Christian, as the Warriors held the Mustangs to 230 total yards and picked off 3 passes. "We didn't expect it to be easy," said MCS coach Chris Cunningham about facing Argyle Liberty. "They probably have the best defense in the district. They haven't given up many points at all. We knew we were going to have our work cut out for us. We made a few mistakes. We had some dropped balls and a couple of interceptions. We're not necessarily Blake Pruitt's fault, as both were deflected." Cunningham added he thought his offensive and defensive lines held their own against Liberty fronts, but, as he told his team, it came down to which team made the plays. "We didn't make the plays that we needed to make, and we certainly didn't make the plays that we made the week before against All Saints. We had the turnovers, but we've got to be able to throw the ball effectively, no matter who we play. And then we had drops, and those are unacceptable. We still also have to do a better job of tackling. Those are all things we need to be better at this week." Fort Worth Christian was open last week, but its last game was a 44-34 loss to Argyle Liberty. The Cardinals had 529 yards of offense in that game, with 372 coming through the air behind sophomore quarterback Hogan Nelson, who completed 24 of 36 passes with 4 TDs and 2 interceptions. "They are the best passing team in the district," Cunningham said. "Their quarterback is pretty good. He's accurate, and he's on time with the ball. They don't drop the ball, and they execute very well. They really have got 4 very good receivers and a good running back to go with their quarterback. Their line does a good job. They're not the most physical offensive linemen we faced, but they get it done." Trinity returns to action against San Jacinto. Trinity will be back in action on Friday as it travels to face Amarillo San Jacinto in a TAPS 6-man Division II game. The Chargers, 2-4, 1-2, were off last week, but are coming off 2 straight losses against arguably the 2 best teams in the district in Abilene Christian School, 69-22, and Fort Worth Covenant Classical, 58-8, on October 7th. "You come off games like that and your eyes are wide open," Trinity coach Greg Koch said. Those are two really good teams. Both of them have a good chance to be in the state final four or even in the top two. That's good for us as a young team that's growing to face teams like that. I think that made us better. You can't just play people that you're going to run over. Being able to play two well-coached teams, I feel blessed about that and our kids and their chance to get better. Koch said San Jacinto, 1-5, 1-2, is more of the Chargers caliber and added that the Patriots can be explosive. They're going to come out and play and try to hit you quick and get you down, Koch said. They want to score quick and make you make mistakes. We've got to come out and play mistake-free ball. Koch added that it will help his team that it's healthier than it has been the last few weeks. Holy Cross begins district. Holy Cross will play in its first ever TAPS six-man Division III District 1 game when it travels to face Lubbock Kingdom Prep at 7 p.m. Saturday. The Crusaders, 3-2 overall, are coming off a 74-64 victory over Paint Rock as Aaron Calderon accounted for 377 yards and 7 TDs, while Ben Bowman had 5 total TDs and 230 receiving yards. Kingdom Prep, 4-2, defeated Amarillo PHCEA 52-0 2 weeks ago before being open last week.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, October 15, 2022. Viewpoints. Questions for candidates. It appears one of the greatest threats to the quality of life in Midland is the lack of available workforce. The lack of customer service might even be a reason fewer stores, restaurants, etc. put Midland on their map of places to open a location. Is there anything the city of Midland can do here? Jerry Morales, mayoral candidate. Workforce training can help solve help-wanted situation. Midland is a strong, vibrant community with ample opportunities. More people are relocating to Midland, and it has motivated entrepreneurs, franchises, and chains to bring in new and different concepts. One of the challenges we face with bringing new employees to support the new businesses is the high cost of living. In the last 2 years, post-pandemic, I was very amazed at the number of new restaurants and coffee shops that have opened doors in our area. Beyond hospitality establishments, we have also seen an influx of oil-changing companies, hotels, and apartments, which all require hourly employees. So, how do these businesses continue to recruit employees? For many years, other industries have had to compete vigorously with the oil and gas companies to recruit, hire, and retain employees. The energy companies have been more competitive in recruiting employees with higher wages, larger compensation package, and benefits along with overtime pay. This can be a challenge for the retail sector to attract employees. Post-pandemic, many employers, like myself, noticed that employees were not coming back to work due to federal government handouts. Restaurants and retail stores soon realized that we were not competing with the oil and gas industry any longer. Consequently, the workforce had taken on an attitude of just not wanting to work. Unemployment rate in Midland is around 3.3%, and the regional unemployment was lower than the national rate of 3.8%. As a result, there is a shortfall of the workforce. So, can Midland help with this workforce shortage that is needed in every industry in Midland? Our community would benefit greatly from a Career and Technical Education Center, CTE. As mayor, I would encourage and support MISD School Board and Midland College trustees to create a CTE that would empower our students with high technical skills, higher wage, and high demand careers while developing their professional skills. A new CTE could possibly create career pathways such as energy, manufacturing, transportation, culinary hospitality, and information technology. Other communities have had success with their new CTE facilities, which I can only assume has assisted with their workforce shortages. Going forward, as mayor, I will continue the efforts I started of collaboratively working in unity, not in silos, to facilitate these types of opportunities for our community.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, October 17th. Author goes inside men's minds. Book offers women insight on male mindset. The story was written by Ruth Campbell. Greg T. Anderson can tell women all about men in all kinds of ways, and he's done so in books called The Power of Crap and He's So Into You, You Have No Idea, The ABCs of Men. He's So Into You is his third book. This and all of Anderson's books are available on his website, gregtanderson.com. As a little boy, he once saw his mother pulled by her hair along some jagged rocks. The image stuck with him. Quote, I never got over it, and I asked her years later, I said, why did you date a man like that? And she said, he wasn't like that in the beginning. What I found out was men hide who they are in the beginning. I like to say it like this. Men present their avatar to women first and not their true selves, Anderson said. He thought that wasn't right, so he wanted to pull the curtain back and let women see who men really are. Anderson said men have the advantage because they ask women for all the information, but they never give any information about themselves. Quote, that was the crux of that idea. I wanted to expose that for what it was because that was not fair for her to go through that. No woman, so that's where it comes from. I was raised by a bunch of women, Anderson said. He added that the greatest thing God has created on this earth are women. Quote, women are smart. They outthink us 10,000 to one. I promise you there's a guy right now who's dressing nice because of his wife. We get all of our stuff from women. We are created for women. I just have so much affinity for single women. You know how hard that is? End quote. Anderson's book has been out since August. Quote, I did a seminar in August at the MCM Elegante that went really well. I just talked to them about the ABCs of men, Anderson said. He added that the book goes in alphabetical order. For A, it's men are addicted to women, and it goes all the way to Z. It took him about a year to research, and then he wrote the book. Anderson said he loves listening to women's stories. Quote, this book was researched thoroughly. I use my own experiences, too, as a man, because I've seen a lot of things and done a lot of things that I had that experience, and I listen. I feel like I'm a good listener. I love to listen to those stories. They tell me their challenges, Anderson said. He added that he chooses what he's going to write about by inspiration. Quote, I never sit down and wonder what I'm going to write about today, Anderson said. What should go in and what should stay out is part of the editing process. Quote, that's why I call it no fluff. I just took out all the fluff. I got right to the point because I didn't want to make it a long book or War and Peace. I know my target audience doesn't have a lot of time. They're very busy. It's something they can put in their purse and grab. It's very light, Anderson said. The former Permian High School and Baylor University football player said he has been writing since high school. He earned a bachelor's degree in communications from Baylor. Anderson said reaction to He's So Into You has been amazing. Quote, I do a newsletter as well, he said. When he's not writing, Anderson is a real estate broker. Ector County Library Director Howard Marks said Anderson is a man of many talents and captivates an audience's attention. Quote, he's going for a female audience mostly, and he's talking about relationships and how they fail. He's giving relationship advice, but he's pretty witty, and like I said, a really good presenter. He's funny. I've had him for some guest author appearances, and it always went really well. Mark said, quote, you can count on him to deliver the content. Medicare open enrollment begins. This story was written by Carol A. Cates, the chief nursing officer at Odessa Regional Medical Center. Autumn is my favorite season of the year. I love the weather, with the temperatures cooling down but not cold, the way the leaves on the trees in my yard change from green to gold or red. I love that I again start wearing my sweaters and boots but not have to wear a coat. Even the food in the fall just makes me happy, eating things like soups and stews, or being able to bake without having to worry about overheating the house. I love looking forward to and planning for the holidays and all the get-togethers with family and friends. But there is one thing about autumn that just drives me nuts. All the commercials from older celebrities pushing Advantage plans during Medicare annual enrollment, which started Saturday. At my hospital, and I am sure in every hospital across the nation, nearly every day we must tell someone that the Medicare program they signed up for does not cover the services that person wants or needs on discharge from the hospital. That is true for both traditional Medicare and for Medicare Advantage plans, also known as Part C. When that happens, that person and their family must make the difficult decision to pay for services out of pocket, which can be extremely expensive, or to do without those services completely. Neither option is really a good option, unfortunately. Because of the issues I see so often with people not knowing their coverage under Medicare, I cannot stress enough how important it is that you look at the program you have signed up for if you are of Medicare age, and to make sure to read the fine print and make sure it meets your needs now and into the next year. Remember to consider things related to unexpected health conditions like falls with injury or strokes and the ability for your family to care for you as you recover. Do your research. Don't depend on recommendations from people who are paid to advocate for a particular program. Here are several questions to consider as you do your research. 1. Are you happy with your current plan? If your plan is working well, you don't need to change. But if you had problems, now is the time to make a change in the plan you have so that you don't have the same problems moving forward. 2. Can you get the same or better coverage for less cost? A wealth management expert recommends you look not only at the monthly premiums, but also calculate how much you have spent on copays and deductibles. You might be able to get a similar plan that better fits your financial needs if you shop around. 3. Do you want Medigap coverage? When you enroll in Medicare Part B, you have 6 months to a Medigap plan with no questions asked. If you have switched to Medicare Advantage and make the change back, Medigap coverage is limited to that first 12 months after you change to Medicare Advantage. Those fine print rules can be really confusing. Because of that, it's important to make sure you know you can get the coverage you want before you make a change. 4. Do you plan to travel outside your local area in the next year? Traditional Medicare coverage is good anywhere in the U.S. if the provider accepts Medicare. However, some of the Medicare Advantage plans are limited to specific geographic areas. If you travel, make sure you have the coverage you need regardless of the plan you choose. 5. Did you get a new diagnosis in the last year? Make sure your current provider and any potential providers cover that condition. Case managers that help patients manage chronic conditions like diabetes or high blood pressure are also good features to look for in a new plan. 6. Do you need dental or vision coverage? Original Medicare doesn't cover dental, vision, hearing aids, or fitness programs. Some Medicare Advantage plans do. Again, look for the coverage that best fits your needs. 7. do you need prescription drug coverage, and are your medications covered? With traditional Medicare, you will need to add Plan D for prescription coverage. Some Medicare Advantage plans cover medications, others do not. Regardless, make sure that the plan you choose covers your medications if you need a prescription drug plan. 8. Do you need help finding the right plan? There are agents who do help people find the right Medicare coverage. Experts recommend going to someone who understands Medicare and represents more than one plan so you can get direction on the plan that will best fit your needs rather than the agent's product. Finally, it might be simpler to sign up for automatic re-enrollment, but it is wise to take the time each year to make sure that your plan is continuing to meet your needs. Things can change a great deal in a year when it comes to health.
Carbamazepine lower sodium levels. Dear Dr. Roach, I am a 71-year-old woman in generally good health. The only prescription drugs I have are carbazamine for seizures and ibandronate for osteoporosis. I've taken carbazamine since 1996 after I suffered a second seizure. I've had only two seizures in my life, the first in 1992. I tended to have low sodium readings for several years. It was never a concern to the doctors until 2019, when my sodium reading was 120. This was determined to be due to the fact that I had the flu and had been drinking excess amounts of hot liquids. Since that time, my sodium reading have told me it is probably due to the carbazamine and that I should just increase my use of salt. This summer, I was diagnosed with hyponatremia to 127. I had been consciously increasing my salt use, so that lower reading was unexpected. I was advised to decrease my fluid intake to 45 ounces a day and increase my sodium intake to 2,500 milligrams a day. Could you also clarify the fluid limitation? First, are all liquids, milk included, to be counted? I have been able to limit my liquids, including milk, to only 60 to 65 ounces a day this summer, which I assume is because I sweat when I walk or even perform chores around the house. I walk briskly and strive for 10,000 steps daily. My walks average from 30 to 50 minutes in hilly terrain. I walk during cooler evenings, but it still can be warm. Second, can limiting liquids this much cause other problems? It is the exact opposite of what we are usually told in terms of how much liquid we need each day. I am wondering if I should discuss changing to a different seizure drug with my neurologist, GM. Answer: Carbazepine is a common epilepsy medicine that is well known to cause low sodium levels. It can cause inappropriately high levels of antidiuretic hormone in about 4% of people who take it. The syndrome of inappropriate antidiuretic hormone is treated mainly by fluid restriction. 1.5 liters a day, 45 ounces, is usually enough to keep the sodium level at the goal of 130 or higher, but some people do need extra salt to achieve this number. The fluid number consists of all liquids, including milk. Foods that are mostly water, watermelon comes to mind, are another source of water. You need to ignore the recommendations to drink lots of water. Most people don't need as much as recommended. Since your situation is uniquely yours, only by regular checks of your sodium levels can your doctor make recommendations about water restrictions and dietary sodium. A neurologist is an expert on SIADH, but your internist sounds like they are treating you appropriately.
Here is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, October 20th. Husband has begun wearing his birthday suit at home. Dear Abby, I'm so disgusted. My husband has started walking around the house with no underwear, letting it all hang out, so to speak. Then he makes comments like, "Doesn't this look good?" I'm sickened by his behavior. I feel violated. How do I tell him to stop without hurting his male pride. Signed, Covering My Eyes in Tennessee. Dear Covering, I'm sorry you didn't mention how old your husband is and how long you two have been married, but any radical change in an older person's behavior could indicate a serious medical problem. Consider discussing this with your doctor because your exhibitionist spouse may need a medical and neurological exam to see if he has experienced a small stroke or the beginnings of dementia. If he's still a youngin', give him the affirmation he is asking for and then ask him to cover up. Dear Abby, when my husband and I first got married, I became pregnant with twins. I miscarried one of them, but the other was born healthy. Ever since he was very young, our son has mentioned that he felt like he should be a twin, or he wishes he were one. My husband and I are torn about whether we should tell him he was. It may give him comfort and an understanding about why he feels this way, but it also may cause him pain and grief, knowing he lost a sibling. Any advice? Signed, Sensitive Mom in the East. Dear Mom, you didn't mention how old your son is. If he is in his teens or older, the next time he raises the subject, you and his father should tell him the truth. While he may be sad to have been unable to have a relationship with his twin, he may be glad to know his longing for twinship was related to the circumstances of his gestation and birth and not a fantasy. Dear Abby, I have a new office mate, and we are not hitting it off well. From the beginning, I tried to engage her in friendly small talk, but I get nothing back except what seems to be defensive feedback. Every time I start a conversation, I end up feeling like I offended her. I have never felt so uncomfortable with someone I worked with, and I have been working for many decades. At this point, I now say good morning and tell her to have a nice night when I'm leaving. When she communicates, she uses baby talk and likes to make faces. She is so creepy. Any suggestions? Signed, Weirded Out in Florida. Dear Weirded Out, the office is not a social club. This woman is clearly not capable of engaging in the kind of banter you are used to. Accept it. Be pleasant and businesslike, and focus on the tasks at hand. If the face-making and baby talk becomes more than you can tolerate, and because deep behaviors distract from your work, discuss them with your supervisor or your employer.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.